Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am your host for today's show, which is Business is Personal, What You Do and Why You Do It Matters. And I am thrilled today to bring you yet another remarkable leading lady, Adrienne Grace, who is the co-founder of Grace Pinto Design Firm, is an incredible entrepreneur and teacher, and they do everything from web development and strategic design concepts, and they work on packaging and logo design, and she's just absolutely incredible. And she's also a member of Connecting Women of Influence. And Adrienne, I am completely delighted to have you here with us today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm really excited too. And our topic for today, which I absolutely love, and Adrienne, I know that this is something that you are all too familiar with, is going pro, why be one, and why hire one. And there's a couple things I want to share a little bit later in the show, but Adrienne, you and I have had this conversation about how essential it is to go from being an amateur to being a pro, and that in conjunction with that, that also means hiring professionals. And I think, you know, for both independent business owners and entrepreneurs, as well as for corporations who often feel like, well, you know, maybe we can just keep things in-house, and I think that that certainly often works, but there is certainly a degree of, you know, when it's time to expand and kind of, you know, bring in the big guns, if you will. And I would just love to know from you, based on today's topic, what does it mean to you to go from being an amateur to turning pro?
I would say it's the difference between being a dabbler and a doer. My mother once said in relation to photography, she said, an amateur is someone that can go out and maybe happen to catch just being in the right place at the right time with perfect conditions, the lighting's great, and snap an amazing photo. But the professional is the one that can get out there day after day with less than ideal conditions and still capture something amazing because they not only have the right equipment, but they know how to use it, when to use it, when not to use it, mm-hmm. and how to get the most from what they do have. And it's that experience that can often make the key difference between happening to catch something and the ability to do it consistently and professionally at a very high level.
That is really good. What a great point, Adrienne. It sounds like it's also about having the tools and the mindset and, like you said, the experience of being able to step into a situation that is less ideal, or maybe it's even a matter of how they, you know, how a pro would deal with something that could be considered, you know, kind of an adversity, and really turn it around and make it work no matter what.
Exactly. Yes, definitely.
I love that. You know, and one of the things that I know that you and Tony, who is your partner and also your spouse, one of the things that the two of you do incredibly well is that you build these websites that are not only really beautiful, but they're very strategic and very purposeful. And one of the things that I thought would be interesting to talk about, because I feel like it really addresses, I think personally, an important question across the board, whether it's a multi-million dollar corporation or a solopreneur. But what do you think are some of the misconceptions with regards to websites and, you know, and the level and degree of their importance? You know, because there's certainly a lot of, you know, DIY, and I guess that's probably part of my question too. Like, have we entered into a time where, you know, business is more DIY, you know, more do-it-yourself, you know, between Wix and Weebly and WordPress and all these really great tools? I definitely hear a lot of people putting their own website together. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, being a pro and, you know, having web development, you know, both from the creative and strategic perspective being one of your core offerings, what do you think is the misconception between, you know, people wanting to do their own website versus hiring a design firm like yours?
Well, of course, to me, there's a great difference. Certainly, there is a level of appropriateness for DIY, but in terms of presenting yourself as a professional, there is a misconception of certainly of how easy it is.
Okay.
That we're all very savvy and sophisticated web users. So since things are so easy for us to do on the web, there is the impression that it should be very easy to create. Driving a car is very easy, but I'm certainly not going to go build one. It's what goes behind it is, you know, it's that's very simple. I'm not going to go do it. And what goes into it is much more of this thinking and the strategy. It's not drag and drop. And if the content isn't there, if the thinking isn't there, if the logic behind what you're trying to do and what your users are going to be trying to do and making sure that those connect and those align in a really positive way, you're not going to get those results. It will look it, it will feel it, and your end user will know it immediately. It also takes a lot more time, that thinking, the research, the strategy that is so core before you ever put pencil to paper or, you know, mouse to pixel. There's has to be a great deal of thinking behind it first.
And where do you think people miss the boat on this the most? Do you think it is in their copy? Do you think it is in the design aspect? Is it in the navigation? Or do you find that it's kind of across the board?
I think it is across the board. Things that may be intuitive to them versus navigation. Navigation is so important. That structure, that hierarchy that you are presenting can be something so, if it's convoluted, if it doesn't make sense, if your end user who isn't inside your head, isn't inside your company, inside your industry sometimes, if it's not easy and intuitive, they're never going to find it. So you're never going to have the chance to actually tell them how wonderful your product or service is if they can't find it. So I think that there's also the content in terms of the written copy. The imagery often doesn't support what's the written content on the page. They don't have a connection. They're just fluff or filler images because many people feel that that's what design is. It's just fluff. It's the window dressing. It's just to make it pretty rather than understanding that the visual element is really strategic and really has to support the overall goals and the overall message.
Okay. You know, I have kind of a two-part question, and I've asked several of our previous guests this question, and the reason I think it tends to come up a lot is because I think that this is such a universal challenge that can happen for salespeople or executives or entrepreneurs. And it's really in regards to finding our ideal clients. And to me, an ideal client is the one not only that we can help, but is the one who is willing to do the work. And so one of the things that I think is interesting, and I think you've kind of alluded to this, is there is this, you know, idea of, you know, it being good enough, or that the website really isn't that important, or it doesn't really matter that their logo is blue on their business cards, but it's red on their website, or, you know, just these little things that tend to be overlooked that I think in and of themselves could be considered modest fixes, if you will. But when you look at all of the little modest fixes that a website or a design or branding needs, they definitely add up. And so one of my questions to you in this is, I had another guest on once that said, oh, no one thinks their kid is ugly. And I just thought that was such a brilliant, you know, such a brilliant analogy. So is there a way to support somebody and help someone who comes to you and says, you know, I'd really love to do some updating to my website, but when you start getting into it, they meet you with resistance. And they don't think that the copy is as important, or they don't think that they need to retool their logo. And so my question to you on that front is, have you experienced that? Have you met people who initially want to come work with you? And then when you start getting into breaking down in your professional experience, again, because you're the pro, and when you start breaking it down with them where they don't agree with you, I'm really curious, how do you handle that with them?
I would say that there, it does depend, but yes, we have certainly run into that. People that will sometimes feel, oh, I just need, and typically it's not a website, but they might come and just say, oh, we just need a postcard. And, well, that's fine, but what's your branding? What's your overall strategy? And they don't think of that single element, whether it's a website or a postcard or a banner ad. They just think of it as a single isolated element rather than a key piece of an overall branding strategy and an overall business strategy. It really is part of the whole. And sometimes that is, they are frustrated because we do ask a lot of questions up front. It has to make it work. We need to know, how does this fit into an overall strategy? And sometimes that's very frustrating for them, and not what they expect. Why are you asking me about our overall business goals? And why are you asking me for hard numbers on this when I just want this little postcard to send out?
Right.
And that's surprising and frustrating, and yet I feel that that's so important, because if it doesn't serve the overall strategy, it may have its own single strategy and its own single purpose if it's for one particular product or one particular service or a particular event, but that still needs to fit into an overall larger vision, and that it does sometimes surprise people.
Well, and it sounds like, too, Adrienne, this could possibly, and if I'm wrong, by all means, please correct me, but it sounds like this is, to some degree, your version of Grace Pinto going pro, and that is that, not that you couldn't help every single client or potential client that comes through your door or visits you on your website, but when you start asking these deeper questions about their overall strategy and their overall brand concept, and they're saying, we just want you to, you know, we just want you to slap together a postcard for us. It sounds like that is the difference between you and Speedy Print, or, you know, or my nephew who's the graphic designer or what have you. And something I wanted to read today, there's an incredible book called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield, and if for any of you listening, if you've not read it, I cannot suggest it highly enough. Stephen also wrote The War of Art, and I want to get your take on this, Adrienne, but he talks about what makes us turn pro. And he says, turning pro is a decision, but it's such a monumental life-overturning decision, and one that's usually made only in the face of overwhelming fear, that it is a moment frequently accompanied by powerful drama and emotion. Often it's something we've been avoiding for years, something we would never be willing to fully face unless overwhelming events compel us to. Turning pro is like Pearl Harbor or the assassination of President Kennedy. It is something we never forget, and we know exactly where we were when it happened. And I'm wondering, Adrian, if you've had a similar experience of that moment where we start to say no to clients that we know in our gut are the wrong clients, or it's that transition from, you know, we're no longer going to work into the wee hours of the morning or work on weekends, that we're going to actually, you know, value our time and our talent and our services. And have you had that experience of going from being an amateur to being a, you know, professional, dynamic, incredibly talented design firm?
Yes, I think that we have. I will also admit to our audience that we are still a work in progress. We still do have a few smaller clients that we just adore them. We have faith in them, and we know that they can go further than sometimes they actually envision that they can.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so frustrating when you look at them and think, oh, you have the potential, but... and really it's their own inhibitions and their own obstacles that are in the way, and you can encourage and do your best for them within the limits of their comfort zone. And you can always sort of try and push them out of their comfort zone a little bit to their own greatness that's out there. But there's always, in the end, it's a relationship, and we need to honor that and listen to that. And so that's very individual. We are fortunate enough that we do have that relationship. We aren't an e-commerce where there's no interaction except perhaps a customer service email. This is very personal and deep. So that's something that we value. We value that in our clients, and that's what makes the difference for us. It's what makes us want to get up and think it through and make that effort every day. I know you are a firm believer in that you're not the right fit for everyone, and I couldn't agree more. But for those of whom you are a good fit, it's wonderful, and you know it, and there's a partnership that happens, and really that is, they are quote-unquote clients, but to us they're business partners, and that's what we really get the most out of, and we feel that we do our best work when it is a partnership, and there is an ebb and flow, and there is a conversation, and there is the thinking that can happen on both sides.
And Adrian, I just want to acknowledge something that you said, that you've definitely had the experience of saying no to clients that aren't the right fit. And you qualified that by saying, but we still have some smaller clients. And I just want to acknowledge you in saying that I don't think the right client necessarily is a multimillion-dollar client or a six-figure client or a big firm versus a small one. To me, an ideal client is somebody who's willing to do the work. And I know from having been in web development back in the late 90s, when people were still saying the World Wide Web, like, what's a website? And people were still on dial-up at that point. And I know that there was resistance even back then. So I think I just really applaud you that you have these clients that do seem willing to do the work. And I think it really says a tremendous amount about Grace Pinto and who you are as a firm, that you see this, that you see what is magnificent about your clients often before they can see it in themselves. And I think that is incredibly true, especially with the work that you're doing. And I think that when we are so close to it, it's really challenging to see. And I really I so appreciate you acknowledging that you're a work in progress. And I think we all are, Adrienne. And one of the things that Stephen says is that the professional dedicates himself to mastering technique. And I feel like especially now with technology changing at the pace that it's changing at, that mastery has to always be on our mind. And I think that that is something that you and Tony do really beautifully, is that you keep working at it. And, you know, and I wanted to say also that I know, I think that there's an art to letting a client go, or there's an art to saying no. And I'm just wondering if you've had an experience where you've had to have one of those tough conversations and what that was like for you, and kind of what is your bottom line? Like, where do you draw the line with a client who just may not be the right fit for you?
Actually, pretty early on when I was transitioning from having been in-house for larger corporations, and I had just transitioned to being our own design firm, and I had the opportunity to work with a woman who was an interior designer. And so I preface that by only saying that this is obviously something that's a very visual business. And so imagery was very important to her business. And we were discussing websites and collateral material and things. And so, of course, when it came to discussing imagery, I said, great, are you going to hire a photographer to do new photography? Do you already have existing photography of your projects? And she hopped on her computer and brought up three or four websites of her competitors and some large interior design firms that are sort of national names that you would recognize. And she said, here, you can just grab images from here. And we had to transition the conversation into a larger conversation about copyright, and that she felt strongly that once something was on the internet, that it was free usage. And that is, just for anybody listening, that is not true. There's a lot of copyright rules and laws, and it's unfortunate. It was not a happy conversation. It was a difficult one to have. Mm-hmm. It was just at a point where pivotally I was just making that transition. It would have been a nice time to have had such a great client, and it was a nice fit with my prior experience. I was already knowledgeable about that industry and felt like I could have supported her very well. In giving her advice and helping design her elements strategically. But that was absolutely not okay, and it was not a happy conversation, didn't end well. But I still feel to this day that I'm absolutely right. I would never, ever have been comfortable putting myself on the line ethically or legally. So that's definitely my line in the sand.
Now, I am so with you, Adrienne, and I definitely have known, I've had friends and colleagues who've literally had, their entire blogs, which were very personal, lifted and used as somebody else's content. And so I love that you shared that, because I feel like that whole copywriting piece, which we could probably do an entire show on, that is a big deal. And I'm wondering, do you know of any, I'd love to share a great tool with our listeners if there is a way that they could, I don't know, look into protecting their own content, do you know of anything like that where somebody could check to see, like, if their copy has been plagiarized or anything like that?
There is something called copyscape.com. that you can actually go and cut and paste your content and see if it's out there any place other than your own site. The other thing I know you can do is actually copy and paste Google images into the Google search bar and see if you can find, again, if it's any place other than on your website and if it's your own copyrighted image. So those are two methods where you can go. I believe there are some other services as well that will search for content automatically, paid services, but those are two nice ways that are easy and free to just kind of go out there and patrol now and again and make sure that your content is still yours.
I love that. Thank you, Adrienne. That is fantastic. And that was, tell me the name of that website one more time.
Copyscape, CopyScape.com.
Fantastic. Copyscape.com. Fantastic, Adrienne. Well, I am so delighted that you've been on the show today, and we are at the five-minute mark. And so this is the time that we start to wrap up, but I would just like to ask if you have any sage advice or if there's anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with today on the topic of going pro. Why be one? Why hire one?
If you're willing to dedicate yourself to your business and you want to attract the kind of business that you want, then you also, to your point, have to be willing to do the work and partner with your firm, whether it's us or anyone. Partner with your vendors in every case, and it can really be a beneficial partnership, and you'll get more out of it, and so will they. And that's really, in the end, having a win-win situation for everyone. Isn't that what we all want? Maybe that's my idealistic notion, but I think we do.
I think we do too, Adrienne, and that is a beautiful way to bring our show to a wrap today. So again, thank you so much, Adrienne. You've been a delightful guest, and thank you for the great tips, and it's been really fantastic having you today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you, too. Well, that's it for our show today, everyone. I can't thank you enough for being with us, and for anyone who is interested in having some strategic and creative evaluation done of your website, if you are looking for really top-notch design, if you need any packaging work, if you've got printing or advertising needs, and you would like to reach Adrienne and talk to her about what their services are, you can reach Adrienne Grace, again, co-founder of Grace Pinto Design Firm, at adrienne@gracepinto.com. And their website is gracepinto.com. And again, Adrienne, it's been really lovely to have you today. I can't thank you enough. And I want to thank our listeners as well. And not only will I be back next month with another incredible Woman Leading the Way, but every single Monday at 9 a.m., Women Leading the Way Radio has a wonderful show right here. And I hope that you will join us and come back and listen, and thank you so much for being part of our family. We're grateful to have you here. And until then, I am wishing all of you a career and a business and a life that you love, that you're passionate about, and please remember that what you do and why you do it really matters, because business is personal.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.